With the ranger's hat and shovel and a pair of dungarees, you will find him in the forest always sniffing at the breeze. People stop and pay attention when he tells them to beware, 'cause everybody knows that he's the fire-preventing bear. Smokey the Bear, Smokey the Bear, prowling and a-growling and a-sniffing the air. He can find a fire before it starts to flame. That's why they call him Smokey. That was how he got his name.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. You just heard a bit of Smokey the Bear, a song written by Steve Nelson and Jack Rollins, performed by Eddie Arnold in the early 1950s. In August 1944, the creation of Smokey Bear was authorized by the Forest Service, and the Smokey Bear Wildlife Prevention Campaign is the longest-running public service advertising campaign in U.S. history, educating many about their role in preventing wildfires. Jay Esperance is South Dakota's Wildland Fire Director, and he joins us now from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio inside SDPB's Rapid City studio with more on Smokey Bear. Jay, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Lori, and this is a beautiful studio, my first time in here.
Well, thank you. We hope to have you back many more times, and we've been hearing this week a lot about the 75th anniversary of D-Day, and there is a connection between, or a reason that Smokey Bear has been around about the same time as World War II. Let's talk about the campaign itself and some of the reasons that it was started and how they fit in with that time in American history.
Sure. Let's take a quick look at American history, and I'll walk you through how it all came about. As we all know, December 7th, 1941, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, and the following spring, Japanese submarines fired shells on oil fields in Santa Barbara, California. That's very close to Los Padres National Forest. A little bit later, in November of 1944, Japanese launched balloons that had incendiary bombs, and the idea was to launch these balloons up into the jet stream so they would drift east, and the goal was to start forest fires and wreak havoc and devastation to the western part of the United States. And if we look at that, within the next few months of them doing that, it was 9,000 of these balloons that resulted in 342 incidences. And unfortunately, on May 5th, 1945, Pastor Archie Mitchell and his pregnant wife and five kids were outside Brookings, Oregon, and unfortunately came across one of these balloons that exploded. And that was our only fatalities in the U.S. mainland because of World War II. Anyway, the picture I'm trying to paint is that during World War II, most of our able-bodied men were deployed to war, and there was a real panic going on with these incendiary balloons and just the fact that the western United States would burn. And Forest Service came up with a very aggressive fire prevention program, and that's about where it started.
From the beginning, was it really about, you know, only you can protect, or was it really like the bear was protecting people? How did it sort of begin?
Yeah, I know what you're leading into there, and actually the first fire prevention figure was Bambi. And if you remember back in 1942, well, not remember back, but in 1942, Bambi just grabbed the hearts of Americans with the fact that we had this deer that, and all the wildlife fleeing a devastating wildfire. And out of the kindness of his heart, Walt Disney loaned the character Bambi to the Ad Council to be the representative to represent fire prevention. And that loan went for 1 year.
All right. So those people who remember seeing the deer next to the bear, there's a connection there as well. So he's also a real bear in the sense that Smokey was a bear. Tell us a little bit about the animal.
Sure. I got to tell you, even I was pretty confused about that. I remember in 2000, we were celebrating Smokey's 50th birthday, and here we are now celebrating the 75th birthday, and I know how to do math. And it just didn't seem to work out. So to figure out that confusion. Yes, we understand. Just from what I talked about, the Smokey Bear, the ad campaign was in fact 75 years, but in 1950, there was a wildfire in the Capitan Mountains of New Mexico. And with that fire, fire crews found a little cub clinging to a burnt out snag. And that cub was had severely burnt paws and hind leg and was celebrated as a living Smokey Bear.
Huh. All right. So it's Smokey Bear or Smokey the Bear? How come in the song it's Smokey the Bear?
Well, that's a good question. And as you mentioned, in 1952, Steve Nelson, Jack Rollins wrote the song Smokey the Bear, and they just added the word the to enhance the rhythm. And so a lot of confusion, but I will correct people if they say Smokey the Bear. We don't have Easter the Bunny.
All right, so Smokey Bear lives for quite a long time after he's burned when they find him. He's been impacted by the fire. He's an orphan. And where does he live his life, and how do people respond to that story?
Well, to go on with the story, the little cub was rescued and he was doctored back to health and taken care of. And it was that whole story captured America's heart. And eventually he was well enough, Smokey the Cub, was flown back to the National Zoo in Washington, D.C., and he became just so popular. And, you know, I'm not giving away my age, but I was probably... I was just being born, let's put it that way.
Right.
So I remember very well being a kid and just loving Smokey Bear and just the popularity of him. Smokey received so many gifts when he was at the airport, gifts and letters. They were averaging about 13,000 letters and gifts a week.
Wow. So, again, the war is over at that point, and America is entering a new time in history, and you see a new response to you know, an outreach and a celebration as well. And also dealing with the wounds of a particular time in history. There's a lot of parallels between Smokey and the folks who fought in World War II, aren't there?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about his role today, because if you drive through the Black Hills at all, you'll often see the cutouts. If you don't see the commercials on TV, you still see a lot of Smokey Bear represented in the hills, kind of as an ongoing awareness. So let's talk about, we spoke with Darren Klebo a few minutes ago about how fires are ignited and the important role of humans in prevention. Does Smokey work? Is he still effective and relevant today?
Well, we're sure hoping so. I know with the state of South Dakota, we have an aggressive fire prevention program. We just had May as Fire Prevention Month, kicked off with an event at Main Street Square. And we really try to drive that message home. And fortunately, we've had enough funding to do that. The whole idea, Lori, is fire prevention. That's Smokey's main message is fire prevention. We're talking about prevention of fires based on human cause incidences.
All right. So tell us a little bit about, because you, as you know, the many roles that you do is also educating the public and giving tours and talking to people about how do you explain sort of the basics of fire prevention? What do people need to get their mind around?
Well, as far as Smokey's campaign, it's really, really changed from the 75 years ago when really it was a patriotic theme based on the war. And if you look at a lot of the posters, you can see it was patriotic. And we've kind of gone more and more to fire prevention. And even he's changed his message a little bit from only you can prevent forest fires to just unwanted fires, and we could talk a little bit later about the thoughts of unwanted fire. Smokey's main message right now is around campfire safety, equipment use, and maintenance, basically preventing sparks. And if we talk about, we can talk about that. Just, you know, anything from say, a tow chain dragging behind your vehicle creates sparks. We just educate the public on that. And then this other message is backyard debris burning. That's mostly for our friends in the eastern part of the United States. They seem to have a lot of fires because of debris burning. I think the focus out here in the Black Hills in South Dakota is more when we burn our slash piles.
Yeah, he's kind of an outdoorsy guy now.
Yeah.
Sort of speaking to who we are as well. Talk a little bit about visitors. And, you know, it's a recognizable symbol throughout the United States. But, you know, the visitor industry is big during the fire season in South Dakota. How do you hope that Smokey connects with people who are really just passing through?
I got a couple answers for that, and I'm going to go with my first answer where I thought you were going, then I can answer otherwise. I work for the state of South Dakota. I love the state that I live in, and the number two industry for the state of South Dakota is tourism. And if nothing else, folks, oh, there's a lot of reasons not to have forest fires, but the word gets out that there is a fire in the Black Hills that could just devastate our tourism business. That's one good reason as far as visitors. But hopefully visitors coming in, that they're aware of how to deal with fire, especially their campfires and things like not throwing out a cigarette butt. Hopefully that's not as much of a problem as it used to be. And just parking your vehicle in tall grass with catalytic converters. Don't know how we can get the message out any better to them than we already do with the Smokey Bear campaign, though, I'm sorry to say.
Tell me a little bit about your career, because you've been to a lot of places and dealt with, you know, I guess what I'm getting at is prevention is real to you in a way that maybe for other people it's, you know, a good idea. They try to practice, you know, good fire safety and fire prevention. You've seen the other side of this when things don't go as well.
Well, yeah, I am. I'm in charge of South Dakota Wildland Fire, and it's got many branches, one being fire suppression. Also, for the previous 8 years, I was incident commander for Rocky Mountain area, and we've also done fires throughout the whole United States, and that is managing large fires. All fires start small, and if we can prevent them from starting small or catch them when they are small, then we don't have to, or before they get large, then it would save us a lot of grief and everything from the financial impact of wildland fires to the destruction of our beautiful forests, displacing of so many houses that have burnt, the fact that fire results later in erosions that choke our streams and kill our fish and the productivity of spawning. It just has so many impacts, and every facet of the job, whether it's fire prevention, fire mitigation, or just the suppression of fire, or when Darren and I go out on these large fires and hopefully put them to bed so we can focus on the smaller ones.
How common is it to know at some point what the cause was, if it's a human caused? I mean, is it easy to sort of trace or track that something happened here and here's what went wrong?
Well, as far as fire investigation, there is a whole science in that, which I'm not an expert at, but I kind of have an idea. And it is, one, is it human caused or lightning caused? If it's lightning, normally we can tell from the direction that the fire had burnt to where the point of origin is. So once you find the point of origin, you look up for a tree that's been struck by lightning, and then now you know that it's lightning caused. Otherwise, we start looking for possibilities for human-caused fires. There's all sorts of methods. One of them is just the public saying, hey, I saw so-and-so out there. And we can track it down that way. There are other obvious indications where people leave campfires that are undisturbed or left alone, or or they've done pile burning and then the weather changes and the fire takes off. Otherwise, fire investigators can, once they find a general area point of origin, they can use metal detectors to find out the type of fire. And generally, we do a pretty darn good job of at least figuring out what caused the fire. The who is a lot harder to prove.
Hmm. Let's talk about those unwanted fires versus, and tie it into this idea where you were talking about the impact on people of a fire. And you, one of the things you think about is the smoke and the health impact of smoke from a forest fire. That is slightly different than smoke from a prescribed burn, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it certainly is. And I was astonished from a recent study that I'd seen. And I guess, you know, a whole different subject is prescribed fires and the benefits of prescribed fire. And one of the issues or one of the concerns, there are several concerns. Obviously, the main concern is a prescribed fire getting away and causing more damage than good. But we have a lot of complaints from the public about the smoke. And I've done a lot of research has been done lately. And the numbers I'm going to give you are on the more conservative side of all the research that I've dug up. But for the West, this is general for the western part of the United States, the harmful smoke that is caused by wildfire is 9 times worse than the smoke that we have from prescribed fires. Hmm. And I guess, you know, a way I look at it, I don't know if you remember those old Fram oil commercials with the oil filters where the guy says, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. You know, it's one of those things that, yeah, it's a minor uncomfortable situation during prescribed burns. But also, quite frankly, prescribed burns is exactly that. It's under a prescription, a weather prescription. And with that, we visit very closely with Dr. Claybo, and he can tell us what's the chances of the smoke getting up in the upper atmosphere and really not sinking down into our communities? And we look for those days to do our prescribed burns.
So is that one of the reasons why the smoke is different, just because of the intentionality of the day that is chosen? Are there other factors, like as far as what's burning? If structures burn, I'm guessing that's different. If things are out of control, what I'm wondering is why would the smoke be different in a prescribed fire than an unwanted or a unexpected fire?
Well, I never pretend to be an expert when it's something I'm not sure of, so I'm not going to be able to give you an intelligent answer. I guess I didn't read that far back into those studies.
I looked at the same study, and I didn't read that far either, so we'll have to both go back.
We'll be glad to, and if anybody questions any of the statistics that I am providing, I'd be more than happy to provide them with the studies that I found. But really, I think your speculation would be as good as mine on that.
Yeah. All right. So, Jay Esperance, any final thoughts on Smokey Bear and what people need to know this season before we let you go back to work?
Well, thank you. I think back to Smokey Bear, what a great character. And what he means to our society, I think we need to get to kids. Kids are impressionable at school age, and if we can bring them up in an environment of understanding. And then the second part is, as parents and adults, we need to reinforce that instead of showing bad behavior. You know, in other words, you're taught this at school, but yet dad still throws a cigarette out. We need to do that. I want to take a second, too, if you just don't mind. I know I heard you talking with Darren about just some mitigation things. And part of prevention, I think, is also just being thinking about the worst-case scenario. Take time to do work around your property. If simple as raking needles off your roof, not stacking firewood underneath your deck, using proper building material, you have flammable trees are brushed too close to your house. Unfortunately, as Darren mentioned earlier, the fact is that I can talk till I'm blue in the face, but you really don't see people getting after it until there's smoke in the air, and by then it's too late. If you contact my office, South Dakota Wildland Fire, we will provide a free evaluation of your property and just give you ideas of things you can do to make your house more fire safe.
All right. We live in the forest. We're a part of it now. J.S. Brantz, thank you so much for being here with us today.
You bet. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Jay is South Dakota's Wildland Fire Director. Another fun fact about Smokey Bear: Hill City High School, home of the Rangers, it's the only school in the U.S. authorized to use Smokey Bear as its mascot.